I'm Marlena, and I want to welcome you to Marlena, right here on ACB Radio Mainstream, where for about the next 60 minutes or so, we'll be taking your calls at 1-866-666-7926. Come on in, sit down, take your shoes off, give me a call, won't you? That's the GDUI theme song. Hello, I'm Marlena. And I'll tell you what, we don't know what's going on tonight. We are still waiting for, this could be who we're, are you who I'm waiting for?
It's Sheila.
Oh, you're who I'm waiting for. I thought, oh dear, is there
no,
a misunderstanding?
You have me, but I do have a slight problem in that I thought I had three-way calling and I keep hanging up on Jeff Lucasina, so I don't think I do have three-way calling.
Oh, dear. Well, can
Is there any way you can accept two calls?
No, I can't. I can't accept to and take other calls.
Okay.
So can we just have you?
Could we... I feel terrible about it. Could we have him call in as another caller and
yes.
feature him for a few minutes?
Yes, absolutely. We'll ask Gary, the board guy, to open the lines, and we'll ask everyone else not to call.
Just at the beginning, you know, at whenever what
yeah.
do you want to do timing-wise?
Yeah.
Marlene? How do you think
yeah.
it would work best?
Yeah, why don't we just, you know, the listeners are probably thinking, what the heck are they talking about? This has been a day, I'll tell you. What we'll do is...
Really, I don't mean to be rude, but he doesn't have the knowledge or that much, you know, it should be mostly me doing it. I was going to call you and set this thing up, but I wanted to wait a little closer to convention, and then he just hopped in and did it. So
well,
I don't want to exclude him, but we don't need to have him on for the whole hour.
And we're on the air right now.
Oh!
Yes, yes, we are live.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes,
okay.
Indeed.
Well,
so what we'll do, this is the fun of live radio. So what we'll do is...
Well, I'm going to have to... Can you wing it and talk to other people for a little while? Because I'm going to have to call Jeff back. And tell him that he has to call in.
Okay. All right.
Oh, my goodness.
My goodness. Yes, indeed. Okay. So you've got this inside number.
Yes.
So you use that and tell Jeff
that Jeff to call.
The toll-free number is 866-66.
Just one second.
866-666.
666-7926.
7926. All right.
Well, I will get him.
All right. You call Jeff and have him call that number. Then you call me, and then we'll have a party.
All right, Marlena.
All right, Sheila. Thanks. Well, you know, this is the joy of live radio, folks. Let me just tell you what we're going to do here. First of all, I've been at a WCB leadership training seminar all weekend long. It was a wonderful seminar. But what that means is that normally, you know, I touch base at the last minute with everybody and we test everything out and everything is hunky-dory and it looks like we always know what we're doing, which now you know we never know what we're doing. So we didn't have a chance to do that this week. So there you go. So that was Sheila Styron, who is going to be our guest, along with Jeff Lucasina from GDUI. And we're going to feature Jeff to let him talk about some of the cool stuff he's doing with collecting door prizes and something else for their summer program at ACB. And then Sheila will talk to us about the general program. Sheila, of course, being the president of Guide Dog Users Incorporated. In the second hour, hopefully, but who knows for sure, hopefully we're going to have Tim Elliott, and for at least the beginning part of the hour. And Tim Elliott is another guy who does podcasting, and I sort of stumbled upon him. Want to talk a bit about how he got started in podcasting, but his podcasts deal with a subject near and dear to my heart, one of my hobbies, and that is wine tasting. So thought we'd chat a little bit about wine and kind of what the differences are. And, you know, a lot of times when you talk about wine, you know, people talk about the color and the clarity. Well, for a lot of us, it's like, yeah, fine. What does it taste like? So I've asked him to kind of think about looking at wine without looking at wine. So there you go. Phew. Boy, I tell you, it is 10 minutes past the hour, and if you are listening to this program at any time other than Sunday night in North America or early on a UTC Monday morning, you're listening to a repeat, so feel free to put your feet up and relax and have a cup of coffee. And we're not opening the lines just yet because we're going to wait for Jeff Lucasina, who is right now getting his guide dog at the Seeing Eye. And I bet you this is Jeff right now. Are you Jeff?
Yes.
All right, Jeff, you're on Marlena. Welcome.
Thanks.
So tell us a little bit about what it is that you're doing with guide dog users this summer.
Well, I've been involved with Guide Dog Users going on roughly 3 years, and I am the door prize chairperson for the convention. So I am in charge of making sure we get enough door prizes to give out at our convention.
Wow. And you guys, I mean, GDUI has tons of members, so you must have to get a lot of door prizes.
Yes. We last year we had a lot of stuff. We had a supplier of a pet store who gave us a lot of dog toys, and we had a lot of the schools gave us things. And so we're doing that, and we're trying to get members, you know, our schools, our affiliates involved. And we're also doing a raffle to support putting some funds towards door prizes, so, you know, we don't have to have everything donated.
Great, and I think we've got Sheila on the line now. Sheila.
Yes, we do.
All right, we're all together.
I'm Sheila with the not working phone lines and the broken watch. And
oh, dear, and I'm so sorry because I started off this segment with harness in hand.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm glad you had something to take up some of the time.
Yeah.
Here.
Well,
I'll have a harness in hand tomorrow.
I was going to ask you, Jeff, I was just starting to tell our listeners that Jeff is so dedicated to what he's doing that he's actually just begun training at the Seeing Eye, and you're in your room right now, I presume, yeah?
Yeah, I got back. We had a wine and cheese thing tonight.
Oh, wine and cheese. Oh, I love that.
And I know the breed of dog, but I don't know the name or anything about it.
So what's the breed?
It's a male yellow lab.
Oh, well, you
and
know.
The only reason I know what it is because I am switching to the right side. So
what?
The dog was already selected.
Oh, okay. So you're going to work your dog on the right side.
Yes.
Ah, that's interesting. Well, I have to share with you guys that I'm especially happy that we're doing this program tonight because today is my little guide dog Madeline's birthday. She's
cool.
nine years old. Can you believe nine? Yeah. So
yeah, we had a big party on Friday for Ivan's retirement. He was my guide dog for almost 8 years.
So Jeff, you were just starting to tell us about you're collecting door prizes and you guys are gonna run a raffle. What's the raffle gonna do?
It is going to help me as the chairperson of the committee be able to add some additional prizes in conjunction with, you know, all the letters that I've sent out and all the calls I've made to several organizations, just another way to help us out.
And what kind of door prizes are you hoping to get? Maybe some of our listeners might like to help you out.
Okay. Well, obviously, we are looking for dog items, dog toys, mostly for the
Jeff, I thought we were going for round-trip tickets to Paris and things like that.
No, that's for radio hosts.
I wish, but we're also looking for cool things that the human handlers enjoy. You know, it could be music, it could be certificates to places, it could be, you know, whatever ideas that they come up with, and they can send those to me, and I can give the information out for that.
All right. Why don't you go ahead and give your contact information out,
okay,
and also tell people by when they should contact you.
Okay. The main email is doorprizes, that's doorprizes, at gdui.org. And those will come directly to my personal email, which is JLIven, I-V-E-N, at altel, A-L-T-E-L, .net. And they can reach me by phone at 412-558-0229. And if I'm not there, they can just leave a message.
Well, I got to say, Jeff, that every affiliate should have somebody like you. You are a promoter. And, you know, we just spent some time this weekend, in fact, the whole weekend, at a Washington Council of the Blind Leadership Training Seminar. And I attended it last year as an attendee, and this year I attended it as a trainer. And one of the things that we teach people are some of the personality types. And one of them is a promoter. And that's you. You get the word out. I mean, I've seen several email from you, just some generic email asking for door prizes, asking affiliates to help. And I think that's great, and I wish you luck with it.
And then could I give the information for the raffle?
Go right ahead.
The end deadline, we are going to pull the raffle on June 18th. And there's two ways you can get the tickets. If you want to do credit card, you can call Jane Sheehan. Is our treasurer at 1-888-858-1008. And credit card orders must be $10 or more. Or you can do check or mail orders, check or money orders to myself, and that's Jeff Lucasena. That's LUKACSENA. The address is 3905 Gun Space Club Road, Murrysville, that's Murrysville, Pennsylvania, and the zip is 15668. And the tickets are one for $1, six for $5, and 12 for $10.
All right, and what do I win when I win this raffle?
You win 50% of the earnings, and we are currently a little over $400.
Oh, that's great. All right. And by when do you want people to contact you for door prizes?
Door prizes, let me think here. Say by June 10th.
Great.
All right. Give me a couple weeks to get everything assembled. And
I'd like to jump in here and say about Jeff that he's not just begging for door prizes. I want everyone to know out there that he's already got a lot of great door prizes.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what we're doing is sort of setting up things for next year as well. So there are going to be really good prizes at our convention this summer, thanks to Jeff Lucasena.
Well, that's great, Jeff. And our hearts and minds will be with you tomorrow when you meet your new friend.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good luck.
Thanks.
All right, and thank you so much for joining us.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Okay, Jeff. Good luck. Bye-bye.
Bye, Jeff.
All right, we're going to ask Gary, the board guy, to close the lines again so that we can focus in on what Sheila's got to say. So if Gary would close the lines, we'll let you guys know when they're going to be back open again. Well, Sheila, welcome.
Thank you, Marlena.
It's nice to hear your voice again.
Happy to be here, even in a somewhat discombobulated. It's rather frightening to think you've had three-way calling and then to be getting ready to do a radio interview and figure out that you don't after all. I have call waiting, but not three-way.
Oh, dear. I know. I can just never get mine to work. That's why I said, look, you know what? If you guys want to do two, somebody else is to initiate it because I can never get mine to work right. So,
well, onward and upward, as they say.
That's right. You are here to talk about what's going on with GDUI this summer, and even a little bit about GDUI in general.
There is so much to say about GDUI, it's hard to even know where to begin. But you were with GDUI a couple of summers ago when we had the big 30th anniversary luncheon where we invited all of GDUI's past presidents. And I was so honored. I planned that luncheon. I wasn't president yet. You are one of GDUI's past presidents, Marlena, and it was such an incredible event where we had all of you. We had everybody, I think, but one person who came. GDUI history goes all the way back to the early 70s where people got together and started supporting each other. In the basic early days, it was, wow, there are, you know, other people who were going through some of the same access situations and have some of the same battles out there in society that I do, and people got together and made GDUI, and it has grown from an access from only doing access issues to peer support, to consumer education, to all of the fun things that we do at convention, to providing all kinds of information and support to all kinds of guide dog handlers all over the world about anything and everything guide dog related.
How many members does GDUI have now?
I think we're up to about 1,300 right now.
Wow. So is GDUI the largest ACB affiliate?
You know, I don't know.
I would guess, though.
I would like to think so,
but I
don't really know.
Yeah, I mean, I would I would guess. Wow, that's great.
I mean, I really, really don't have an idea about some of the larger states like California.
Yeah.
It would be fun if we were, but
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably in terms of special interests. Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll tell you that when I attend a GDUI meeting, I, no matter what it is that I attend, I always flash back to the early days when it was maybe 25 people. And, you know, we were all sort of sitting around and thinking, gosh, there's so much to tackle. What do we tackle first? And,
we
you know,
still think that.
I know. I know, but at least there's more bodies now to help tackle. But it's so wonderful to see the continuum of GDUI. You know, when I took over the presidency in, I think it was 1980, Kay Gleitz, the first president, had already started work in the Hawaii issue. I worked the Hawaii issue. Phyllis Stern, it just went on and on and on until finally years later, what was it, 98, and we're talking this started back in the late 70s. GDUI finally could take the responsibility and claim the glory of opening the door for blind people and guide dogs and their guide dogs to go into Hawaii. And I must tell you, and I feel like I'm pontificating a little bit, but then I'll shut up. I must tell you that last fall, Gary the board guy and I took this amazing cruise where we were cruising for 3 weeks, and we cruised to Hawaii and back. And at first, they were going to make me fly to Honolulu, and they were going to make me do all this. And I pushed it and pushed it, and finally, and I'm sure because of the reliability of what GDUI told the public health officials that they told them that our dogs would be appropriate and vaccinated and the blood work would be up to date. And I mean, this is something that was negotiated for years. Finally, the chief ag vet in Honolulu said, okay, we'll have a vet meet your ship in Hilo, and if everything is up to date, we'll let your dog come in through Hilo. And they told me that as far as they knew, she was the first guide to come from the mainland on a ship, you know, and be processed through ag outside of Honolulu. But
breaking
that's,
ground yet again, but, another GDUI member.
Right, but I never would have been successful without GDUI having laid that groundwork. So I just wanted a chance to kind of say that and thank
yeah.
you.
It is truly one of GDUI's big advocacy milestones of success. And, you know, thanks to all of you who worked so hard on that before I even had heard of GDUI, and I was just barely hearing about GDUI when all of it was wrapping up during Jeanine Stanley's presidency and with Mike Lilly, the attorney who finally turned the trick of making that settlement a reality. And even today, GDUI we're still working on the Hawaii issue. We have Paul Walker, a really strong member of GDUI's advocacy committee chaired by Kevin Chin and Mike Harrell. And Mr. Walker is, as we speak, has just finalized a bullet points, real easy guide to all of the steps you need to take to get your dog into Hawaii without having to wade through tons of documents. And that will be available up on our website and in whatever format very soon, so that anybody who wants to go to Hawaii with a guide dog will no longer have to be intimidated, because even though we've been allowed to go, it's been a little hairy, as you know, I have to do this. I have to do this. I have to do that. So that will make it even easier, just another step in the continuum, you know, that makes access easier in, you know, everywhere.
Well, that's great. And I can hear you're getting another call, but hopefully
I'm going
call
to
you
ignore
back.
That one. I'm here with you now. I'm not going anywhere.
That's right. They can just call you back. That's right. If you're listening, call Sheila back. Leave her alone. She's mine for until 7 o'clock. Okay. So let's move on and go through the convention program, and we'll ask Gary, the board guy, to open up the lines as time is marching on, in case folks do want to call in. The number is 866-666-7926. And before Sheila gets started, let me remind you that if you're listening to this program at any time other than 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific in that hour on a Sunday night, or 1 Universal on a very early UTC Monday morning, you're listening to a replay, and we want you to sit back, cozy up to your computer speaker, and get all the information Sheila's got to tell. If you're listening live, we want you to call us, 866-666-7926. What's going on with GDUI this summer?
Well, a whole bunch of things are going on with GDUI this summer. We have probably programming that mirrors one aspect or another of all the work we do when we're not at convention. I'll highlight a few of the events. One of the things we do at GDUI is we try to provide information to consumers about all the guide dog schools out there. A lot of people, when it's time to get a guide dog, I certainly know when I first got a guide dog, I didn't know very much. And so GDUI just recently has gotten up on its website a school survey so people can go up and access information they might want to learn about guide dog schools through either checking out the school or a question if they want to just go by subject matter. And the information will come up two ways. And one of the things we do at convention every year is we have an opportunity for the guide dog schools to present who they are and what's been going on at their training program throughout the past year. And this year, we're doing it a little bit differently. We're calling it Guide Dog Schools Show Their Cards. And it's going to be on Monday afternoons from 3 to 5. Guide dog schools are going to give quick thumbnail updates, and then we're going to use half the time for the schools and the people who attend this session, whether you be somebody who's been going to the same guide dog school dog after dog, or whether you're someone who's considering changing schools, or somebody who may never have worked with a guide dog and is seriously considering training with a guide dog, you're going to get to go around the room and talk to all of the people at the schools individually, one-on-one, and people who have already been clients of guide dog schools will have an opportunity to interact with the school reps, set up maybe appointments for follow-up or other meetings outside, you know, this particular program opportunity. And we will be having a presentation on learning how to advocate in your community when you leave the convention. And this will be presented by Becky Barnes, Director of Consumer Outreach and Graduate Services at Guiding Eyes for the Blind.
Oh, good choice.
One thing that we face as guide dog handlers endlessly is the fact that, you know, we're always going to have problems with our guide dogs. No matter how much work GDUI does, we still have a cab driver or a restaurant to educate. And Becky's going to teach us how to beat the odds in these kinds of local advocacy issues that all of us have to deal with. When something happens, you know, where do you go? Who do you talk to? What kind of letter do you write? What's the most effective approach?
Well, and I love what you're doing with the schools, because I think that, you know, one of the things that I hear often from people who don't have a dog, people will say, well, you know, I want to find out more, but I'm not sure. And so I think that while certainly people have been welcome every year, dog or no dog, this really seems to be making a deliberate effort to reach out to say, even if you don't have a dog and you're thinking about a dog, this is a good place to come and start to learn.
We're offering another convention program item on our agenda that addresses this as well. Judy Dixon is going to be presenting a panel on training with a guide dog after age 50, because not everybody goes to college and gets a guide dog. And she's going to talk about some of the surprises and the lifestyle considerations. And that will be taking place Thursday afternoon from 2 to 3.
Oh, that's another, yeah, that's a great idea. Judy, of course, is with her first guide and, loves every minute of it. And it's great fun to do things with Judy and go out with our dogs together because, I mean, she's such a good dog handler, but there's such joy in what she does and in the bond that they have. So that's a great idea.
And somewhere we'll be doing our breakfast club that we have done at GDUI for a few years. And this is open to, again, we're reaching out because whether you travel with a cane or a canine, you can meet us at 7 in the morning and we'll walk to a very nearby place outside the hotel, be back in time for general sessions, and it'll give you a chance to get out of the hotel and breathe a little fresh air before the sun clobbers you. That Vegas sun is probably going to be murder, so a chance for people to get out in the mornings and walk with their dogs. And we're doing a walking excursion on Wednesday evening to a local mall, and we have a few surprises in store for that, not quite ready to be announced. Oh, what else? We're having our reception Monday evening, our Lucky Dogs reception, because we figure anyone who's coming to the convention in Vegas this summer is a lucky dog indeed, and that is our lighthearted GDUI theme this summer. We do so much heavy work that our theme is very lighthearted this time around. And we'll be having a lot of fun at that particular event, the GDUI reception Monday evening from 8 to 10.
And that's always a very, very
good
popular.
Prizes,
yeah.
One.
So that's going to be on the pre-registration, I would assume.
Oh, yeah.
That one
and, and we will also, our GDUI luncheon will take place Wednesday at 12:30, and we will be having one of the world's renowned experts on canine familiaris, which is a fancy word for dog. I like to call Dr. Jane Brackman a dogologist. And Jane is going to talk to us about the history of dogs and wolves and how dogs and wolves, how their timeline, how they separated and what the differences are and how dogs developed from wolves. And
that's interesting.
I've seen Jane do this lecture before. It's an outstanding presentation, and she'll be bringing wolf and dog skulls that we can have hands-on with in the GDUI suite later that day so that you can really see how dog breeding has affected the shapes of skulls. And some of it's kind of scary.
Yeah, it's like, okay.
What they've done to pugs and then different
wow.
dogs.
Wow. Now, her name is very familiar to me.
Dr. Jane Brackman, she mediated the first Cato meeting.
Okay, that's right, yeah.
GDUI is one of the founding members of the Coalition of Assistance Dog Organizations. We've come together with Assistance Dogs International and IAADP, and now Cuss Dogs has joined us, and we have met.
And why don't you tell people what Cuss Dogs is?
Cuss Dogs is the United States Council of Dog Guide Schools or something like that.
It's
the, the United States collection of reputable guide dog training programs, and they meet to discuss issues relevant to all of the schools in the United States.
It always cracks me up that they call themselves Cuss
Dogs.
Dogs,
those swearing dog schools.
Yeah.
And Jane also, a little while ago, was CEO at Guide Dogs of America.
That's
for a little
what
while.
I thought.
She's recently been a member, but isn't now, of the California State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind. So Jane's been around. She knows her stuff.
And, you know, I got...
And she's an author.
I got one dog from Guide Dogs for the Blind. From
America?
Guide Dogs of America. My current, actually, I did get one dog from Guide Dogs for the Blind. She's my current dog. But I, oh dear.
You've been around too, haven't
it's
you?
It's a hairy day. But I did get a dog from Guide Dogs for the Blind, and Jane Brackman was doing the fundraising there.
Uh-huh.
And her husband at that time was working doing film production, and I was living in Washington, D.C., and I got this call from Jane one day, and she said, I wonder if you would like to bring B to the set of this program. We're filming a Mary Higgins Clark book into a movie called Still Watch. And so B and I showed up, and Angela Dickinson and Linda Carter.
Boy, you're sure name dropping.
I tell you. Just about fell, you know, just fell over. Oh, they love the dog. And Mary Higgins Clark, oh, she loved the dog. So I will always remember sitting on the set in a director's chair with Angela Dickinson bringing my dog a blanket on which to lie because the sidewalk was just not good enough. But anyway, the number is 866-666-7926. The line is open, and we'd love to hear from you. So what else you got? This is exciting
stuff. Well, yeah, I could go on and on. We've been working pretty hard on our convention. And then I can also talk a little bit about some general information about GDUI that people want to know, but there are a few more convention highlights I wouldn't mind hitting on. For one thing, we are going to have a complimentary, that means free, Avid chip installation, injection.
Oh,
an Avid chip
clinic
at our GDUI suite on Tuesday and Wednesday mornings. The Avid chip people are coming down from St. Louis, and anybody with any kind of a working animal, guide pigs are welcome, I guess. That's what they said. Can come to the GDUI suite and get an Avid chip. And for anyone who doesn't know, an Avid chip, they shoot it in with a little, it's very tiny, and it comes, they inject it in between your dog's shoulder blades. And, oh boy, I don't want to explain this technology and sound stupid, but it does enable people to track and, you know, identify your dog. The information gets entered into a database, and I've moved, and I haven't updated my dog in the microchip database.
Yeah,
the truth comes out, but I will take care of that this summer if I haven't done it before.
It's something I had to do, of course, to, you know, go to Hawaii, and it's very painless for people out there saying, oh, no, I don't want to do that to my dog. It's very painless. It's like a barcode scanner thing that they can then run over the dog's neck, and a number pops up, and then they can check the database to see, ah, that's who this dog is. So it's really a good thing to do. And Madeline wagged her tail the whole time it happened. So,
yeah, I don't remember Dorian being very scared when I did it. But
yeah.
I paid $50 for mine.
Yeah.
So this is a good deal.
This is a great
deal. If
you
with dogs have been thinking about doing this and haven't, this will be a good opportunity. As usual, on Sunday, we'll have two orientations of the hotel and surrounding areas. We'll have one at 12 noon and one at 5 o'clock. And that's always a good opportunity to run into some of your favorite guide dog instructors and also to learn your way around the hotel from people who know how to teach the way around pretty well. Let's see.
Let me ask you a
Go
question.
Ahead.
Are you guys doing the dog food service
yes,
this
we
year?
We are.
You want to talk
we
a bit about that?
We have the dog food delivery. The information is in Paw Tracks, and the information will also be in the Braille Forum. And as we're talking, I will attempt to see if I can pull that. I wrote down a lot of phone numbers for GDUI in preparation for this interview, and I did not write down the dog food number in this list, but I'm going to, as we speak, attempt to see if it's in my Braille light, because I can do that. I cannot deal with the talking computer and talk to you at the same time. I'm not quite that smart. but we will be having the dog food delivery. In case I can't find the number, it is called Bon Appetit. And that's B-O-N-E-A-P-P, of course, A-P-P-E-T-I-T, in case people want to look it up if I have failed to provide the number by the time we finish this call.
And now while you're looking that up, must people be members of GDUI in order to use the guide dog delivery service?
Oh, no. They'll take credit card dog food delivery for anybody. And this company has any brand pretty much you want. They specialize actually in the more difficult to find natural brands, but anything you want from Iams to Purina to Eukanuba to Canidae to a lot of the more exotic dog foods they will be happy to deliver, and he says he can get them in the small sizes. And they will take credit card orders over the phone, and they will label the dog food with your name on it, so that when you go to the GDUI suite on Sunday afternoon, July 3rd, you can pick up your dog food.
And it's a great service, folks, because, you know, right now when you travel, and I don't know if everyone knows this, if you haven't flown in a while, kids, your bag can no longer weigh any more than 50 pounds when you fly domestically. I fly a lot, and boy, I've been nabbed, and they don't just nab you with a little, oh, well, just pay us $10. Oh, no, 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 no. It can be as much as $80 extra if your bag is even as few as 5 pounds over the weight limit. So really think about this carefully. If you do use a guide dog.
And I have the phone number to make it even easier for you.
There you go. See, this is full service.
It's 702-644-3644.
All right. Great. And it's a great idea. I've used it. I mean, I'm a member of GDUI, but I've used it. It has never failed me. You know, the first year I did it, I sort of held my breath and said, oh, please, God, let it happen. And it did. And
I know.
It,
no dog food.
Yeah, I know. And it has always worked. It has always been just fine. So,
and as usual, too, speaking of phone numbers, we do provide contact information for both regular veterinary care if people need it and emergency veterinary services. And those numbers will also appear in, have appeared in PawTrax and will appear again in PawTrax and in a Braille Forum article that I'm putting together as we speak. This time around, we will be using our emergency care will be Animal Emergency Center, and the phone number is 702-457-8050. And our regular non-emergency vet is at ARC Animal Clinic, and the number there is 702-648-8583.
How many dogs are we expecting just as a guest this summer?
Well, I, of course, don't know because we haven't, you know, we don't have any numbers, any hard numbers in yet, but a lot of times there will be, you know, in the neighborhood of 300 dogs at a convention, and even more than GDUI members. And it's hard to say with Las Vegas being such, you know, a hot spot.
Yeah.
We might even end up with more. It's just hard to say.
Yeah,
a lot of dogs end up coming to our ACB conventions.
I just heard Cynthia Towers, the convention coordinator. She was speaking today at the Washington Council of the Blind board meeting, since she happens to live here in Seattle, said that right now they have a block of 800 rooms, which is more than apparently what they usually do. Oh,
my goodness.
So lots more people, and of course there'll be more dogs. I want to get back to the program and anything else you want to highlight.
Oh, yeah, we've got I'd like to thank my convention committee. I really just have to give them that shot on the air. I mean, we've already talked to Jeff Lucasina, our fabulous door prize guru, door prize king. We all have various nicknames for him. And thanks to Jeff. Thanks to a new person who just came out of the woodwork last fall and said, Sheila, I'd like to help you with the convention this year. And it's Donna Permar, and she has just been just incredible helping me stay organized in convention activities. And we've also had working on this committee Patricia Keepler and Kay Madera and Lisa Salinger, and boy, I'm telling you, we have a lot going on, and I really thank these people for helping. Another really fun thing that we'll be doing this year is, and even with all this that I'm telling you about, we're trying to keep GDUI's convention activities a little bit less hectic this year, because we think there's going to be so much to do in Las Vegas, and it will be crowded, and it will be stressful. We thought that maybe sort of an unofficial convention theme that we would put into practice this year is less is more. And so we don't even have as many activities as we have. But some of the other ones that, that we are going to have so that people won't be too tired to come to them is, and we're stretching them out. We're having a little bit less each day, but we're having more on Thursday than we usually do. And our very last convention activity will take place at 8 o'clock on Thursday evening, and it will be Carla Campbell leading people in a hands-on, not really a lecture about massage, but just a hands-on guided tour, making your dog feel good at the end of the long week in Las Vegas. We're just going to find be in an empty room on a carpet, you know, with no no chairs, no nothing, and we're just going to all get down on the floor with our dogs, and Carla is just going to, you know, guide us through the best petting session, you know, there in Vegas with our dogs. So I think that'll be a really relaxing way to end our time together as dog handlers there at the ACB convention.
And I'm sure the dogs will be so grateful.
Oh, yeah. They're really going to like that. And another one of our, I think, our opening session, well, after our opening, our housekeeping and opening ceremonies are at 1:30 Monday afternoon. And right after that, we are going to be having a really interesting presentation from individuals who work as assessors for the, I always get this name, the International Guide Dog Federation. We talked about the United States Council of Dog Guide Schools a little while ago. The International Federation of Guide Dogs is the International Organization of Guide Dog Schools. There are guide dog schools from Korea, Great Britain, Canada, you name it, Yugoslavia. I mean, wherever there's a guide dog school, they're federation members. And the assessors are the individuals who go around the world and look at the guide dog schools. And I don't know too much about the details, but...
Boy, I'd like that job.
They're going to, they go around and they, I don't want to use the wrong word, I don't know that they certify the schools or that they inspect them, I don't really, but they certainly, we're going to hear about it this year because we called all of the assessors that we knew in the United States and we got two very good ones. It just so happens that they're both from GDB and it's Terry Barrett and Michelle Pouliot.
Oh,
and they're
what
going
great
to come
choices.
And they're going to tell us about the Federation with a special focus on their adventures and the interesting things that they've seen around the world, how different guide dog schools are in all the different countries around the world. So I think that'll be a really interesting program that, you know, will really show us it's just not all like, you know, the Seeing Eye GDB Guide Dog Foundation, you know. Things are really quite different around
the world.
Wow. That's going to be a fascinating program.
That's great.
And then Tuesday afternoon, we're going to have a panel at 12:30. It's going to be on owner-trainer considerations. And this panel is going to be, discussion is going to be conducted by or hosted by people who have trained their own guide dogs.
Boy, now that's a controversial thing.
It's a controversial thing, but the panel is, there are going to be questions made up in advance, and there will be a chance for audience participation. The questions will be created in advance so that the subject is dealt with very even-handedly. And one of the chief focuses in this discussion is going to be on the idea that it's not just training a dog from scratch, but there are lots of changes, positive changes, that we as handlers can affect in our dog's behavior once they come out of the schools. There is such a wide range of what happens to guide dogs once they come home with their handlers. Some people let the training go. Some people sort of stay at the level where the school was. Some people teach their dogs a few new tricks, and some people go on to really, really, you know, put amazing, complex behaviors and training on dogs that have just learned what I like to call French 1 at guide dog school. there's so much more that we can all continue to do with our dogs as we work with them through the years. So
hopefully
this will be a really interesting panel that'll have something for the people who want to train their own dogs and the people who just want to think about doing more with their dogs than they've been able to do in the past.
Well, you know, from the perspective of helping your dog to evolve after guide dog school, there's such joy in watching the dog. I mean, I've done some fun things with Madeline. It's joy. It's absolute joy when you see these guys actually learn something, and you can just, even though you can't see their eyes, you know that their eyes are shining with their own pride. And we have a call. Let's take the call. Hello, caller. You're with Sheila and Marlena.
Hi, Marlena and Sheila. This is Nikki Kobe, and I just had a question, not so much program-related, but more related to having your guide dog at convention.
Ah, yes, because this is Nikki's, this is Sheila, this is my I lovingly call her my little sister. She's been my friend since she was 8.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
She just got her first guide dog this summer. She's a senior in high school, and I'm going to watch her walk across the stage with Julio independently to get her diploma, and we all can't wait. Anyway, I always have to brag about her. What's your question, Miss Nikki?
Okay, well, actually, it's kind of two questions. The first one is, you know, there's sometimes some controversy or discussion around dog hair in the room. So I'm wondering, you know, obviously when you're grooming the dog, you do your best to throw away as much of the hair as possible. But is it better to almost just not groom your dog for the week, or so that you don't get as much hair in the hotel room? Or how would, you know?
I think that people should groom their guide dogs every day, unless you're just too sick to do it. But the more you groom the dog on a daily basis, the less fur comes out every day. And I don't think that, I've stayed in enough hotels, I travel a lot, that the amount of hair that comes out of a dog in a hotel room poses an undue burden to the business,
okay. Being
the hotel. I know that when I first got a guide dog, I was fairly self-conscious about this, too. Some people find places in nice weather to go outside and groom their dogs. I really don't think that's going to be very practical in Las Vegas, Nikki.
Yeah.
You might consider going into the restroom and doing it, but I don't think it's that much harder for the hotel cleaning staff to run a vacuum cleaner over the carpet than it is over the bathroom floor, and it's going to be more comfortable for your knees on the carpet. But I'm throwing out some different ideas for you, but it's kind of an individual choice where and how you want to groom a dog at convention. But I think that for our dogs to be healthy and happy and to relieve their stress levels, grooming is one of the most wonderful, one of the most protective of our relationships
yeah.
with our dogs, things that we can do. And so I would highly encourage you to get up that 15 minutes or 10
oh,
minutes
yeah.
earlier in the morning and groom your dog, and you'll both feel better, and
oh,
the hotel staff will too.
Definitely. My dog sees the Zoom groom and goes nuts.
Because I'm a happy camper, and I hope that if you haven't done so already, you'll consider joining GDUI.
Oh, yes. I've been a member for like
You're
a
year. You're a member? Yay!
Of course she's a member.
Good. Marlena wouldn't
let you get away with that.
I wouldn't have it any other way.
You were brand new, you know.
No,
I
and the other members of MNGDU wouldn't be very happy either. So.
Oh, good. Well, you guys are doing good work up in that state. So,
yeah.
Of course, they've got you. That's great.
And the other thing I haven't heard a lot of discussion or, you know, explanation of, and last year I remember hearing information about it around this time, was the relief areas.
I understand there are going to be 5 of them, according to Cynthia, today.
Oh, good.
She's got it right. We have a relief, a professional doggy cleanup company that has been hired.
Okay.
And they will be there. I haven't met them, but they will be there doing it. There will be 2 areas outside the convention area,
okay.
And there will be the hotel tower that is supposedly the one with the most convenient, biggest, best relief area is the Monaco.
Okay.
And so guide dog handlers who want to be closest to the biggest, best relief area should book their rooms in that hotel. I think we mentioned that in Patrak, although the other tower, which I think is the Delmar?
I think it's the Monte Carlo.
Monte Carlo, that's it. Has a tiny relief area, but it's not supposed to be very very conducive or very large. It's more for emergency use,
okay.
You know, if you don't want to walk too far.
Okay.
I have not been to Las Vegas yet myself, but I will be going there in the next couple of weeks, and we'll walk all of these areas, and when people arrive at convention, be helping to provide as much of that information, you know, along with the instructors and Margie Donovan, who is the ACB rep, and, you know, we'll do our best in GDY to help make that information available to people before they need it.
And, of course, everybody should remember to bring their baggies.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Baggies are a very beneficial thing. I hear my father starting up the microwave, so sound quality behind me is going to be very poor.
Oh.
The
name of the company who won the bidding war this year for the fun job of picking up after, or keeping the areas clean, I shouldn't say picking up after because we don't want them to have to pick up after us, but it's a company called Scoopmasters.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you.
The time is getting close, Nikki, so.
Thank you guys very much. That answered some questions for me.
All right. Have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We've got just about three more minutes or so with Sheila Styron, 866-666-7926. Great questions from somebody taking their dog for the first time. Oh, what happened to Sheila? Uh-oh. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Well, let's see. Let's see if we can magically make Sheila appear. Okay, so this is a live program, and we're going to just do this. My goodness. Hang on, everybody. We're going to see if we can. We're going to see if we can get Sheila back. See if we can get her back in here. Huh. What a show. I'm trying to ring her. She's probably trying to ring me. Well, Sheila. Okay, we're going to bring you back in here. Now we're going to hear a big clank. Okay. Are you there?
I'm here.
You know, this
it
is
just Dad, we're having technical snafus tonight.
Isn't this fun?
We're doing our best.
Yeah.
I was hoping that I could have an opportunity to give out some of PDUI's contact numbers.
Please do, and that's how we'll wrap up.
Is that how we'll wrap up?
Absolutely. You are such a good sport.
Oh, you are. I'm sorry we've had a little bit of rough edges, but I hope we've presented people with information that they'll find useful and that they'll want to become GDUI members and come to our convention activities. And I really want to thank you, Marlena, for the opportunity, you know, of allowing Jeff and I to come on and talk about GDUI. And anyone who wants to contact GDUI in the main sense, our toll-free number where you can find out anything and everything GDUI is 888-858-1008. That number is manned by GDUI's Girl Friday treasurer, salesperson, a keeper of the records, Jane Sheehan. And our GDUI website is www.gdui.org, and wonderful GDUI information and a lot of connections to other websites that you might find useful as a guide dog handler. And we have an advocacy number. If you have an advocacy issue, it moves around, answered by different people, possibly Mike Harrell or Kevin Chin. And that number is also toll-free, 888-858-2481. And last but not least, GDUI offers an empathizer's line, and this is a number you can call when you just have anything guide dog related that maybe you're needing a little bit of guidance or a shoulder to cry on, and that number moves around some too, but usually Lisa Salinger has it, and that toll-free number is 888-858-2227.
Lots of great stuff, and I will look forward to seeing you at this summer, and certainly at the Monday night reception, if not before, and then beyond that through the week.
Well, it'll be our pleasure.
Thank you so much, Sheila. And anytime that GDUI has something that you guys want aired or a program you want done, you know, feel free to get hold of me. I'd love to get the GDUI regular program going. And so feel free to get hold of me.
Well, we really appreciate that. And I will definitely be in touch with you.
All right. Thanks, Sheila.
Thank you, Marlena.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Okay, coming up in the next hour, we have confirmed that Tim Elliott is going to be with us, at least for the beginning part of the hour. And we're going to talk about podcasting, and we're going to talk about wine. So stay tuned.
I lost myself on a cool, damp night. Gave myself in that misty light. Was hypnotized by a strange delight under a lilac tree. I made wine from the lilac tree. Lost my heart in its recipe. It made me see what I want to see and be what I want to be. But I think more than I ought to think. I do things I never should do. I drink much more than I ought to drink because it brings me back you. Lilac wine. My love, oh, lilac wine. I feel unsteady like my love. Listen to me.
Oh, what a beautiful song that is. I was looking through my collection of music to try to find something beautiful that had the word wine in it, and I didn't come across actually too much beautiful. And but when I saw that, that's Katie Melua and Lilac Wine. I've never had lilac wine. I've had pistachio wine. Now that was certainly a treat that doesn't need to be repeated. So what are we talking about wine? Well, I have with me on the phone this evening someone whom I've never met, but who comes into my life weekly since I discovered this great phenomenon of podcasting. And his name is Tim Elliott. And Tim Elliott does, I think, of all of the podcast programs I listen to about wine, and I listen to quite a few, I like Tim's best because Tim gives you the straight scoop, and he's right there with the, you anticipate a question, and Tim's giving you the answer. Tim, welcome to Marlena.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
It's great to have you. So, you know, I kind of want to talk about wine and how you got started in podcasting and the whole deal. The blind community, man, we are just on this podcasting thing. Ever since Adam Curry mentioned my podcast, apparently there's a lot of folks now in the sighted community saying, holy smokes, we never thought about all the benefits of podcasting for people who are blind. So let me give out the number here. It's 866-666-7926. You want to talk to Tim about podcasting, you want to talk to Tim about wine, whatever you would like. We'll be with you for a little bit here, and feel free to give us a call. Gary, the board guy's got the lines open. And as I always say at the top of each hour, if you're listening to this program at any time other than now, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, or 2 on a very early Monday morning UTC, you've got yourself a repeat. So get a glass of wine, put your feet up, and enjoy the program. So, how did it all get started for you with podcasting?
Well, it was, I think it was September, toward the later part of September of last year, I heard about podcasting on one of the websites that I had subscribed to talk about some Palm computing stuff. I'm a technology guy, so I heard about it, and all roads led to Adam Curry's show. He was one of the original podcaster, so yeah. I started to listen to Daily Source Code. And from his show, it really branched out, and I listened to a whole bunch of different shows like Evil Genius Chronicles, and then to Michael Gohagan's Real Reviews that really inspired me to start Winecast.
So, okay, so you do Winecast, and you do, like, one just about every week?
Yeah, I try to do about 5 to 6 shows a month. And it's usually at least once a week, sometimes more often than that during the week. And I choose a wine varietal or a wine region to focus on and pick 3 wines up to taste and talk about and give listeners a bit of background on the varietal or the region. And I have a feature every week about something like a wine book or I just did a show today where I talked about matching food and wine, things like that. So it generally runs between 12 and 15 minutes a week, and those are delivered through MP3 files that you can download through the Internet.
And the cool thing about podcasts, I mean, if any of our listeners don't know about podcasts, I think they've been in a cave. Let's see. Okay, well, I have so many phones that could ring here. I wasn't sure if it was the right phone ringing, and it is. But anyway, if anyone who's listening to this program doesn't know about podcasts, you've been in a cave because we've been talking about podcasting on this program for 3 weeks. But the cool thing is, don't let the name fool you. You don't need an Apple iPod to listen to these. I mean, I listen on my Braille Note. I listen on my PK, Braille Note PK. I listen on the book port. And I listen on the computer. So, Tim, we've got a call. Shall we bring him in?
Absolutely.
Hello there. You're with Marlena and Tim. Who's this?
Hello there. How are you?
Great. Who are we speaking with?
This is Timothy Alper from Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada.
Timothy, you sent me some email about podcasting, didn't you?
Yes, I did, and I enjoyed your podcast, and I think it's a very good thing for blind people to get into because, you know, it's pretty interesting, and I might want to get myself into it one of these days.
Well, did you have a question for Tim?
How would I go about doing it? Because I don't know what the procedures are in that case, because where I'm from Canada, do we have to pay for the services of podcasting?
Well, you have to pay to actually put your files up on a website and pay for the bandwidth. That can get quite costly, although mm-hmm. there are some services that have unlimited bandwidth, like Libsyn and Apple's iDisk service that give you a limited amount of space, but for my show, which averages between 15 and 18 megabytes per show, the 125 or 200 megs that they give you on those services are plenty big.
What about Marlena's one, Blindcast?
Well, with mine, Timothy, what I did, I have a business account because I, Gary the board guy and I own a company. And so, I went to my website hoster and I said, hey, I need to buy some more space and I'm going to start another domain because I didn't want to mix this in with my business because I mean, it's way too much fun. And, so because I'm sort of adding the space on, it isn't costing me any more than like $10 a month, and I registered, and I have a gigabyte of space, and I have unlimited bandwidth, so lots and lots of people can come and download my stuff, unlimited traffic. But I registered my domain with a place called GoDaddy.com, which is a pretty inexpensive place to get your domain. So
I'm from Canada, though. Would I have to go through a local domain?
You know what I would do? I would go to GoDaddy.com and find out if it matters that you're in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think it does, actually.
I don't think it does.
Yeah. Really? But the pricing is a little different because we're in Canada, you're in the United States, and I think, I don't know.
Well, check it out. Check it out and let us know. And if you get podcasting, man, you got to call me back and tell me. So you sound like a youngster, are you?
I am. I'm 30 right now.
You're 30. My gosh, you sound like a young 30. Well, you're younger than
I am. I'm 30.
You're younger than me, kid. Let me tell you. You're still a youngster. All right, great. Well, did you have any other questions for Tim?
No, that's quite all right. I just wanted to find that out.
Well,
and congratulations on your broadcasting and your show.
Well, thank you. And thank you so much for calling. It's the first time you've called.
Yes, it is.
I've been to your beautiful city on taking the Blue Nose over from Maine. And I think from Bar Harbor. And it's a beautiful place in which you live. So enjoy it every day.
Have you been over here in Nova Scotia at all?
Yeah, I have.
Have you been to Peggy's Cove?
Nope. Just Halifax. Yeah. So
how come I never saw you?
Well, it was a long time ago. Well, great to hear from you.
All right, then.
Okay, thanks, Timothy. One. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
866-666-7926. We have listeners from all over the world who call. Hello, you're with Tim and Marlena. Who's this?
Hello, Marlena. This is Jeff Bishop. How are you?
Jeff Bishop, the guy who started a podcasting list called Blindcasting.
Yes, and I have some great news. I tried to get a hold of you earlier to let you know about this, but that's all right. You're going to hear about it live.
Am I going to get all excited?
You will.
Okay, what's up?
Tomorrow at noon Eastern time, I will be posting a message to the Blindcasting list. So this means that those of you that are not on the list, you better get on it. Turn down your radio, yes.
Yes, turn down your computer, yes.
I have it going on in the other ear, and I'm like, oh, this isn't going to work. I've been working with the iPodder development team over the weekend, late into the hours of the night. and we now have a more accessible version of iPodder.
Woohoo!
It's not done. It's not done, but things like automatically being able to hit the space bar on the list view for checking and unchecking for downloads, and some of the focus issues have been resolved, and the adding of feed dialogue is now more accessible. And there's a lot more to go, but for those of you that are wanting to participate in providing feedback to Andrew through me, we don't want to overwhelm the guy, get on the Blindcasting mailing list, and I will be sending out the mail tomorrow at noon Eastern time. So that will give everyone time to get on the list. To subscribe, it's blindcasting-subscribe at jeffbishop.com.
So, Tim, you can see how much this thing has really just taken. I mean, this is in, what, Jeff, 3 weeks? We've all just sort of been like, holy smokes, look what's out there.
I did want to also mention that this wouldn't have been really possible without the efforts of Don Barrett, who contributed $100 to the iPodder development team. And that kind of got the ball rolling. And so great gracious thanks goes out to Don Barrett for all of his efforts there. So.
And, of course, Don Barrett is another blind user who said, you know, I never heard of this stuff. What is it? Went out there, took a look. And, you know, iPodder is usable, but, boy, it can be tough to use. And, you know, for you, Tim, of course, we blind guys navigate without using the mouse. And so,
iPodder is hard enough if you can see what.
Is it really? Oh, that's good news.
I can't imagine, you know, if you can't. Actually, I use iPodder X on my Macintosh, and it's a little bit better than iPodder Lemon, but they're still quite cryptic to use, and that's one of the usability things that really has to really change for more people to get into podcasting, because it's still a little bit hard for normal people that are not technical to really get into.
Why don't you guys, sort of between the two of you, in case there are new folks listening who, you know, I got an email before the show tonight, actually, saying, how do I get this started? What do I do? I want to do it, from another one of the ACB radio DJs. So let me sit back and introduce Jeff to Tim and Tim to Jeff. And why don't you guys kind of exchange some ideas about how does a person get started with this? Where do you first start?
Well, hi Tim, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Oh, good.
So you take it away, and then I'll add some color.
Oh, okay. Well, I think the first thing is to actually start listening to them first. And the way to do that is really just to start getting yourself into the circles of people who are listening. You know, like getting on the Blindcasting list, for example, which we have well over 100 members in like 5 days. Crazy. And we can help you and guide you through the process of getting a client and doing all of that. It's really not that difficult. In fact, Marlene, I didn't know if you noticed it or not, but the replay service has now gone podcast.
I'm actually gonna bring Dave Williams in, but I always need to give him a second. Tim, we're simulcasting through the an audio chat room that ACB Radio sponsors called Our Place, and our director of ACB Radio is Dave Williams, and Dave is in the UK, so you know how late it is for him, but he's monitoring this, and I want to bring Dave into the conversation, and that can be a bit of a delay for a second until sort of he hears an ion key and so forth. And let Dave announce what ACB Radio is about to do with podcasting. So let me do that. Dave, are you there? And we'll just wait a second and see if we...
I'm indeed, yeah. Hello to Jeff and hello to Tim. Hi, Marlena. Hope you're well. Thank you very much. Yeah, we just posted literally about half an hour ago possibly less. We've been busy too over the weekend, and Jeff Harris and the web team have put together a public beta, or beta, as you guys say, of our replay service. So people who subscribe to the ACB Radio replay podcast can catch each day's ACB Radio mainstream programs whenever they want, wherever they want. So that material can be downloaded automatically to your desktop or to your MP3 player. And I think it is important to stress that point that you made earlier on, Marlena. The name podcasting, it's a little bit misleading, really, because it really doesn't involve an iPod. I mean, if you've got an iPod, then that'll work great, but you don't need an iPod. So that's what we're doing, and that's what we've been up to. So if you've got any questions about that, I'll try and answer them.
All right, great. So I'm not quite sure where we are here between Jeff and Tim. This is also exciting. I can't even keep it all straight. So, Jeff, then you're suggesting the first thing people do is they subscribe to the list.
Yeah, I think the first thing to do, you know, we can sort of describe here what, you know, where you can go download things and all of that. But I think it'd be easier for people just to get on the list, start asking your questions. We have there's a bunch of people on that list. I'm not really even having to answer a lot of questions. We have so many users on the list now that are just jumping in with both feet and helping everybody out that, you know, you're definitely going to get as much help as you could possibly imagine. So,
Tim, what kind of equipment does a person need to do this?
To listen to podcasts?
Or no, to actually do a podcast.
Really, all you need is a computer that can have a microphone attached to it, and many laptops already have microphones built into it. You use some open source software called Audacity, which is available at SourceForge. That's basically what I use to record my show. Now, I have bought some additional equipment, some mixers and some professional microphones and so on, to make the sound quality a bit better, but you really don't need that. You just really need either a headset or a microphone plugged into a PC or a Macintosh, and this Audacity software, which is a sound recording software that allows you to record and edit the sound files and then produce either a WAV or MP3 file directly from the program that is then posted to the internet, and that's your podcast.
And of course, a lot of blind folks use SoundForge and GoldWave, and those things all work equally well.
Absolutely, yeah. Those would be great programs to use just to record, you know, your voice.
Yeah.
So that's all there is to it. There's really no magic here.
So you create the sound file, and then you put it up on the web somewhere. And what's the next step? How do you announce it to the free world, guys? So I did it. Now how do I get people to come listen?
There are a number of directories. I think the best known is Podcast Alley, which is at podcastalley.com. But there's a number of others. iPod or X has their own directory. There's podcast.net and a whole host of others. But you just basically, you know, list your podcast with those directories, and you will start to gain listeners, and then they will tell people that will start to listen to you, and it kind of uses the network effect of the internet to gain many more listeners, and I've been lucky enough to gain about 1,200 to 1,500 listeners for each show that I put up.
Yeah, I was going to actually mention that because you mentioned on your last, well, on the last podcast that I heard, I've been gone for several days, but on the last podcast that I heard, you mentioned how gratefully surprised you were at the high volume of listeners that you have. So you really can amass quite an audience.
Yeah, and I really haven't tried that hard to gain a very large audience. It just really kind of happened. And it's over the last 6 months since I've been doing this, it, you know, just kind of snowballed, and every month is about twice what the month before was as far as listenership. So it's just really great.
That's great. Jeff, do you have anything to add?
No, not at this point. I'm kind of listening, and I'm going to probably go ahead and drop off, actually, Marlena.
All right, and I'm still trying to get subscribed to your list, but my spam filter likes you, and so...
Let me give the address one more time.
Please
and,
do.
It's blindcasting-subscribe@jeffbishop.com. And again, I'll be putting out an email with the link to the beta test version, and everyone needs to understand that this is test. So if there, you know, there's definitely going to be issues that are remaining, and even issues that may be new, because again, this is going to be a version of iPodder that even has potentially other features in it that are not part of the base 2.0 product. So,
and what an exciting thing that it's actually being driven, you know, blind people are stepping up to the plate and saying, hey, man, this is cool. We want to drive our access. We want access. And not only are we willing to beta test, and again, it is a beta test, or
yes,
beta, as they
will
say. But some of us are even willing to put some money down into this because we think it's so valuable. I think that's great, and I think it's a win-win.
There you go.
All right, Mr. Jeff Bishop. Well, I'll try to subscribe again after I get off the air, and I'll watch my spam filter, and I'm sure it'll pop up, and we'll get it in the inbox, and then we'll try it again.
Very good. Thanks for your time tonight, Tim.
Yep. Thanks.
All right. Take care, Jeff. 866-666-7926. And let me just tell Dave, who has the power to interrupt at any time and pop in from the chat room, that if you want to do that, feel free to do so. So was wine drinking or wine tasting your hobby, Tim, before you got into this?
Yeah, one of the good things about podcasting is that you meet a lot of people that are very passionate about the various subjects that they base their shows on. So, for instance, Michael Gohagan, who I talk to quite a bit, and I've actually met him, is very passionate about movies. So he has a great show called Real Reviews, where he talks about DVDs that he has in his collection and about how great these movies are. Well, after I heard his show, I thought, well, what is the, besides movies, because I'm a big movie fan, what are the other things that I'm really passionate about? And wine is one of them. And I have been a longtime wine lover and not part of the wine industry at all, but wanted to kind of share that enthusiasm with listeners. And that's kind of the genesis for why I started Winecast.
All right, we've got another call. Hi there, you're with Tim and Marlena. Who's this?
This is Jeff Lucasina again.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, I got a question.
Uh-huh.
I am in the process of putting together a proposal, if you would call it pitch, to do a podcast for the GDI group.
Uh-huh, and Tim, that's our Guide Dog Users Incorporated,
group.
Yeah.
And so what I need to do is figure out exactly, you know, what all we need to use, how it's going to work, what the cost and all that kind of stuff would be. And I was wondering where I could find that kind of information.
Well, I think if you subscribe to Jeff Bishop's list.
Okay, I'm on the list.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's where you start.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's another resource, though, Marlena, that we might want to point him to, which is Michael Gohagan actually has a podcast on it's called the podcast about the podcast, which is how he makes his podcast, which is an audio program about all the tools, the software, everything that you need to kind of put this together. And he breaks it down, and it's, I think it's about 30 minutes long, and he did it back late last year, but it's still very relevant right now. So I would recommend that. And I can send you the link to that audio file if you want as well.
Yeah, if you would send that to me, Tim, then I will post that to Jeff's list as well as on the ACB Radio has a friends list, and I'll post it.
Okay, because I've listened to your podcast, Marlena.
Oh, I hope you liked them.
Yeah, I listened to, I think it was the third of the...
The flight simulator one.
No, it was the puppies one, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the Puppies and Planes actually has three parts.
Okay, I think it was the last part of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when I installed the software, it just gets whatever's current that day.
You can get it to get other things that show up in the list.
Uh-huh.
If you, when you go to your...
I have iPodder.
Okay, so do I. When you use JAWS or Window Eyes?
JAWS.
Okay. I use Window Eyes, so, but this should be similar. Okay. When you go to your subscriptions, when you view your subscriptions, you say you come down to Blind Spot,
right.
Press your tab key, and then you're in your episodes list.
Okay.
If you down arrow, you'll hear that that there's another episode underneath that which you've just downloaded.
Okay.
So you want to route your JAWS to your PC and make sure that you're on the first letter of the... See, Tim, this is what I mean. It's nuts. So you want to make sure that you're on the first letter of the title of the episode, and then move your JAWS cursor one to the left, and you should hear graphic. And you want to click on that graphic. You want to left click with your number pad. And what that does, up at the top, there's a status, and it will say something is downloaded, or it'll say skipped / removed. Well, all the episodes except the current one are skipped / removed. When you click on that graphic, you change the status to download. So the next time you hit the F5 key to go out and tell iPod or go get it, it'll go download it.
Okay.
So you can hear all three, and you can hear the cruise.
So it will back.
Yep.
Back.
As long as I keep them up there. So. Yep.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
All right.
All right.
All right. Well, enjoy, and good luck getting that new guide dog tomorrow.
All right. I'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
All right, Jeff. Bye. Bye. 866-666-7926. See, this is why we need a more accessible iPod, Tim. All these
steps. Well, once you subscribe, though, it's actually pretty easy. It goes on your iPod or your portable MP3 player, but the problem would be the interface for you, although on the iPod there is a little bit of sound feedback that you get as you scroll around.
Yeah, iPods are pretty tough things to use. I mean, I think there are some people who use them, but I think most of us are using an MP3 player that is called the Bookport, or we're using our computers, or although I'll tell you what, I played with an iPod Shuffle. What a cutie that is.
Yeah, my son has one of those.
It's got no screen.
Right, yeah, it's great.
Oh, it's great.
You just load it up and then press the play button. And if you don't like what you're hearing, you just press the the forward or advance.
Yeah.
And it goes to the next track, so that's great.
Yeah, it really is. It's such a deal because it's there is no screen, and I think it has two. I think you can get two different sizes. I mean, I didn't need one, so I didn't. Pay much attention to it. So, all right, I want to talk a little bit about wine, and if folks still want to call in and talk about podcasting, that's great as well. Or if you've got a question for Tim about wine, I enjoy wine, and Gary the Board Guy and I are always looking at trying new wines. And thanks to you, Tim, I'm trying Rieslings.
Oh, great.
Yeah. I haven't...
So did you try some German Rieslings like I suggested?
Well, I haven't had the chance yet because we've been getting ready for this leadership training institute that we did this weekend and stuff. So I haven't really had a chance to really go wine shopping. But I've been trying Rieslings in different restaurants. And one of the things that I've discovered in the last, 3 days, since we sort of talked about this, Rieslings seem to change their taste as they sort of warm up to the air. Or am I just nuts?
No, all wines actually change the taste as they get warmer, especially white wines where, they come out cold as they come out of the refrigerator or the ice bucket or what have you. And then they really evolve as they get warmer. I drink red wines from my cellar, which is about 56 or 7 degrees or so. And that makes a real difference in the way the wine tastes. But as it warms up to more of the room temperature, it really throws off a lot more aroma and taste. And it really tastes different than it does straight from the cellar.
Gosh.
So you're not crazy.
Oh, good. Now, there are people who would debate that with you, but we won't let them call. can you talk to us a bit about, you know, when I learned about wine, and I've been to the wine tastings, and Gary the Board Guy and I have been on several cruises, and we always go to the wine tasting. And one of the first things they talk about is how the wine looks. Well, I'm sure that's important to you guys, but it doesn't really, you know, do much to crank my radio. And I'm more interested in understanding what other things should I be looking for in wine, and where do I start when I don't start by looking?
Right. Well, you'll probably be happy to hear that the visual part of wine is probably only about 20% of the whole experience. It does give you some clues on the age of the wine and the flavor concentration, or how full-bodied it is, how much alcohol it has, because there's as you swirl it around the glass, the glycerin sort of comes down the side of the glass, and that tells you something.
Is that what they call the tears, the glycerin?
The tears or the legs, right,
okay.
Yeah. So if you see a lot of those coming down the side of the glass, that means that it's a full-bodied one. It has a lot of alcohol. And really you only see from the color of the wine, you know, how old it is, whether it's a new wine or an older wine. For me, 80% of the experience is in the aroma and the taste. And the taste really has a couple of components. One is the taste that you get as soon as you put it in your mouth. It's the sweetness, it's kind of the way it feels. And then after you swallow the wine, there's a, you know, kind of a finish that happens there where you get a lot more of the both aromas and the flavors in your mouth. And you get the same feeling if you spit, which a lot of us do at large tastings, unfortunately. If we're tasting a lot of different wines, you don't want to obviously swallow it because you won't be that objective, although you might be pretty happy at the end of it. So if you're tasting more than just a few wines, you want to actually spit. But you still get the same sensation, so you get the full range of the flavors of the wine, whether you swallow or spit. I of course prefer to swallow it.
Yes, absolutely. So so how do I taste the wine? And let's go back. How do I swirl it? And I'm going to see what you say, and then I'm going to tell you what I do and see what you think.
Right. Well, what I recommend every kind of new wine drinker to do is you put really only about a third of the size of the glass amount of wine in. You don't want to fill it up to the top, because if you fill it up near the top or even halfway, it's hard to swirl the wine around in the glass to really release the aroma. So my rule of thumb is whatever the volume of the glass is, about a third should be filled with wine. And then that gives you ample space to swirl it. And for a new wine drinker, keep it on a hard surface like a table, and then swirl it around in a circular motion. And that what that will do is move the wine around on the sides of the glass and release a lot of the aromas.
You know what? I think I love you. That's exactly how I swirl my wine, on the table.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times I'll do that, too. Although, over the years, I pick, you know, you can kind of pick it up, and you can, if you watch the wine, you can kind of be careful that you don't slosh it over the edges.
Yeah, and see, that was always my problem as a blind person. It'd be like, you know, Gary would say, all right, you know, there's just a little bit in the glass. Go ahead and swirl it. And so I'd start swirling it, and he'd go, no. So finally I said, you know, to heck with it. I am putting this down on the table,
right,
because it's the only way that I can really do it.
It's much easier to control down there. Then after you've swirled it, then put it up to your nose and really get a good sniff of what the wine smells like.
And what should wine smell like?
I think it smells like a lot of different things, but I think that the best wines smell like fresh fruit. I like very fruit-forward wines, wines that smell like raspberries and strawberries and black cherries and plums. That kind of fruit. You'll also smell peppery kinds of things and other spices, like cloves is very common in Pinot Noir, as an example. And you'll pick up some vegetable sorts of smells occasionally in certain kinds of wines as well. their citrus smells. So that's really what I look for. If it's an aged wine, so a wine that's been in the bottle for 5 or 10 years, you'll start to pick up what we call bouquet. So there's the aroma of the wine is what the wine tastes like when it's bottled. The bouquet is what it picks up after it's been in the bottle for a number of years. And it's as the kind of the wine evolves, it starts to smell differently. So, for instance, an aged Pinot Noir, where it might have smelled like cherries and strawberries when it started, might smell later on after it's been aged like mushrooms and earth sorts of smells. So it takes on a very different kind of character, both of which are very enjoyable and very interesting and make for a great experience, I think.
Is it true that when you are tasting wine, you want to sort of aerate it in your mouth so that the kind of feeling?
Yeah, well, much of the experience of tasting the wine is through your sense of smell. And it's not only just the smelling of the wine before you put it in your mouth, but it's actually through your sinus area. So you do want to draw a little bit of air through your mouth. And this is something that you acquire, through practice. And you make a little slurping sound, and you will taste the difference if you do it that way. And it will provide you with a lot more information about the way the wine tastes through your sinuses, not through the actual tasting. Your tongue is only so good at really deciphering the saltiness or the sweetness of the wine. That's basically all it's doing for you. All the other sensations that you get are really through, your sense of smell.
Can you get a good bottle of wine for under, say, $15-$20?
Absolutely. In fact, most of the wines that I taste are well under $20. And I just did a show today, which I'm going to post later on tonight, where the most expensive wine was $11 a bottle.
Wow.
So there's a whole world of wine out there that is under $20, which is very, very good. The trick, though, is there's a lot of wines out there in that price point that aren't very good, too. So what I try to do is look for the wines that I think are really great values that taste like they should be $20 or $30 a bottle. That's what I try to do on each of the wine casts, is to really carefully select, which wines I taste, and hopefully I've picked the ones that that I think fill that bill. In fact, the show that you mentioned earlier, the Syrah show I did last week, actually on Tuesday, I think, of this past week, I had three wines that were just really stellar, all of those were less than $20 a bottle. I think the most expensive one there was, around $15.
Well, I love your show because it's short, it's informational, it's to the point. And I guess the first time I listened to your show, you actually tasted some wines. And I thought that was just a fascinating thing. Are you going to do that again soon?
Yeah. In fact, my next show coming up this next weekend will be another virtual tasting. It was suggested by a listener. And I did it a couple of times. One was on my Chardonnay show here last month, and then I did another show for Wine Blogging Wednesday, which was on Sicilian wines, which I also did a virtual tasting. And the difference from the normal show is that I pick out the wines and I uncork them, and I actually taste them live as I'm recording the show. It's not truly live because I post it later. But as I'm tasting the wines, I'll give you and share my impressions. Kind of taste through the three and then kind of track back through them and then make decisions on what I think is the best wine and the best value. That's different than in the other shows where I pre-taste the wines before I record and then have some tasting notes where I kind of read off what my impressions are of those wines. So I'm going to be doing at least two, probably three shows a month where I have that virtual tasting feature where it just features a live tasting, and one of the things that you can do is pick up those wines. I pre-announce the wines before those shows, Taste along with me as you listen to the show.
Yeah, that's what I plan to do. And I, you know, Gary the Board Guy hasn't quite gotten into the podcast thing yet, although the poor man, he lives with me. I'm not quite sure how it's all eluded him, but I figure, you know, the best way to get him into it is with your show, because since he likes mine, and your show is short and to the point and very informational, we might just join you virtually. I think that'd be cool.
Great.
What do you, before we leave here, I want to make sure and give you an opportunity to tell people how to subscribe to your podcast. But I want to ask you another question. What do you think about this new, deal where some of the wine producers are going back to screw tops?
Uh-huh. I think that's great, actually.
I think it's amazing. I mean, I can remember when I first started drinking wine. Oh, my gosh, screw tops. Oh, you wouldn't want that. And now
right. And now
they're going back to it.
Right. The Boone's Farm or Night Train.
Annie, what is it? Annie's Boone's Farm apple wine.
Right.
Yeah, that's what. Or wine in a box aged in the truck on the way to the store, you know.
A lot of high-quality wines are now top of screw tops, and I think it's a great thing because about 3 to 5% of all the wine that's made that's topped with cork are spoiled because of the corks and not because of the quality of the wine that went into the bottle. And a lot of times we will buy these bottles and we'll put them on our cellars and we'll age them for a long time, and it's very frustrating to pull a wine out and uncork the bottle after, you know, 10 or 20 years of aging and to have it be bad because of the cork. So a lot of wineries, especially in wines that are meant to be drunk early, such as, say, Sauvignon Blanc and Riesling, a lot of these wineries are choosing to seal those with screw tops because they have a perfect seal and they don't have any possibility of introducing this cork taint problem. Many other producers, in fact, I had a Gewürztraminer from Columbia Crest, which is up in the neck of the woods.
Yeah, it sure is.
This evening, and they had a plastic cork, which is probably the second best thing. Plastic, it's a food grade plastic. It doesn't have the same problems as regular cork does, but the problem is that it does let a little bit of air in, so that's for wine that should be drunk within, say, 2 or 3 years of the bottling. So I think you're going to see a lot more wine sealed in that. In fact, I was up in Portland a couple of months ago and went down to the Argyle Winery there, just south of Portland, and all of their wines, including their very expensive Pinot Noirs, were sealed with screw tops.
That's amazing. I just got to get over it then, huh?
Yeah, no, it's definitely not as romantic as hearing the cork pop out of the bottle.
No, it's not.
But you will be assured that the wine will be just as good as it was when it went into the bottle.
Well, tell me how to subscribe to your podcast.
You can go to winecast.net, and there is a RSS feed there. It's actually a podcast button near the top of the webpage. Actually I have three of them. One is for MP3, which is, playable on a whole bunch of different devices. Another one is for the Windows Media format, the WMA format. That's for Windows portable MP3 players. And then there's the AAC format, which is for the Apple iPod, which, of course, can also play MP3s. And then you put those into your iPod or client, and you're subscribed. Now, one of the things I'm going to be doing here early in the week, probably tomorrow or Tuesday, is having some special versions of the iPod or clients built that only have my feed in it. So what I'm going to do is have the ability for people just to download a program for Mac or PC and install it, and that'll all be done. You don't have to cut the feed and paste it into iPod or and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, very
so I'm trying to
cool.
make it as easy as possible to subscribe to the show. But you don't really have to subscribe to listen to it. I do have a flash player on the site where you just press a button that looks like a VCR play button, and it will play right on the website.
Very cool. And if people want to get a hold of you to send you an email and ask you a wine question or even a podcast question, can they do that?
Absolutely. That's winecast@gmail.com.
Winecast@gmail.com. Well, Tim, I thank you so much for joining us. And if you're ever in even near Portland, you know, we're only a couple hours away from Portland, I'd love to meet you and share a bottle of wine.
That sounds great. I'm planning on being in Seattle here in the next few weeks, so I'll definitely let you know when I'm in town.
Fabulous. You've got my email, so let me hear from you.
Okay, great.
Thanks, Tim.
Yeah, thanks, and keep podcasting.
I shall. You too.
Okay, will do.
Bye-bye. Wasn't that interesting? Wow. You know, the world is an amazing place, isn't it? It's a smaller and smaller all the time. 866-666-7926. We've got about 8 more minutes to go, maybe 7 actually, as I look at the time ticking by on the Braille note, seconds going by. I want to tell you about a fascinating weekend that Gary, the board guy, and I just had with the Washington Council of the Blind, and hopefully we're going to be doing some programming for ACB Radio on some of this. But every year for the past 5 now, the Washington Council of the Blind sponsors a leadership training seminar where we select, people apply, people from, you know, our membership, of which now we have close to 370 members, hooray, hooray, apply for, to be accepted to come to the leadership training seminar. And what we do is try to give people the skills to be leaders and try to give people the confidence and the just kind of the belief in self that they can do this and they can go off and they can be leaders. And we had many interesting participants there this past weekend, but one of them was a lady who I think it would be fair to say has not had many, maybe as many benefits as some of us have had. And she is multiply disabled. She is blind. She's a wheelchair user. She has some issues with her speech. And, you know, we're going along through the weekend and we really make a big deal out of the fact that, you know, people have worked hard to get through the weekend. You know, you don't just sit and listen to lectures. You participate. You're involved. You're moving around. Things are happening. And at the end of the day yesterday, we just very casually mentioned that, you know, well, tonight at the banquet will be your graduation. And this lady spoke up and said, I've never graduated from anything before. Wow, what a feeling that was. I mean, she'll probably never know how much she empowered everyone in that room, you know, just for us having been a part of her experience. So stay tuned to ACB Radio, and I'll be getting this content eventually ferreted out and send it to Dave, and Dave does all the magic with it and can make it available, maybe in podcast form. I don't know. So, Dave, I don't know if you're still up and listening. Let me go over here to the chat room and, oh, where are we going? There we are. Let's see if Dave's still up and listening and see if you want to add anything else, Dave, about this replay. How cool is this? So let me unkey and see if Mr. Dave is around at almost 3 o'clock in the morning. And we'll just wait, see if we...
Yes, and we need to make sure that we get off in time so we don't run over and get hammered by the PRS. But very quickly, yeah, the ACB Radio replay... service available from the on-demand area of the ACB Radio website, where you will be able to listen to this program minutes after the program has finished. It will be available on demand for the next 7 days, and then We'll move it over into the longer term archive. But it's there available anytime for the next week. And if you're into this whole podcasting deal, then you can certainly add the link to our replay podcast feed, which we have posted to the list. It's one of those clunky URLs, so I don't really want to give it out just now, because it's one of those that's a little bit cumbersome. But it has been posted in the email, so you can just copy and paste that into your client, and then you'll get every day's HSP Radio mainstream programming downloaded directly to either your computer's hard disk or your MP3 player of choice.
And just one more example of how ACB Radio is really your radio. So thanks so much for telling us about that, Dave. And let me just start to wrap up here by thanking everyone for joining us. Sorry about the ragged start, but you know what? It's live radio, man. You know what I mean? It's just you and me, and it's live radio. And we got it all going on anyway. Want to wish Jeff Lucasina good luck getting his guide dog tomorrow. What a great thing that is. And if you want to get hold of me, it's Marlena, Marlaina, at acbradio.org. And I will see you next week, by golly, same time, same place. If I can get my music to play, there we go. You've been listening to Marlena on ACB Radio. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. But in the meantime, if you've got an idea for a future show, why not drop me an email? The email address is Marlena, that's Marlaina, at acbradio.org. Thanks to Dave Williams, director of ACB Radio, and most of all, thanks to you, the listener.
To give you insight.
We're going out with Jenny Emery.
To brighten all your days. When the darkness brings the doubts and the fears and the tears, let there be light. May it shine on you always. May your thoughts